With the Lord's help, I would like to read Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power, his understanding is infinite. The Lord lifted up the meek, he casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighted not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, praise thy God, O Zion, for he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed the children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon the earth, his word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool, he scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels, who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word, and melted them. He caused his wind to blow, and the waters flow. He showed his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgment unto Israel. He had not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. May God bless the reading of his word. When was last time you attended a singing and the song filled in the room and it carried you away from all your burdens and lifted your spirit up and you were just in a wow? It's like a taste of heaven. And when you left, you were so refreshed, especially spiritually refreshed. My friend at work, he attends a black church. He's the only white, and many, many times he tells me, he says, Norby, when they sing, they really sing. And he says, I just love going for the singing because I leave from there with 100 pounds lighter. And sometimes I was thinking about it, and I said, oh, when was last time I felt that? I grew up singing maybe 4 or 5 times a week. And sometimes I feel down and, oh, when was that? And the Spirit convicted me right away, questioning me. When was that my singing lifted up burdens of others? When did I cause somebody to be refreshed with my singing? So I was thinking, what is the Bible says about singing? What does God say about singing? So I was trying to recollect my memories of Bible verses or chapters that reflect on singing. I don't remember God directly commanding anybody to sing, to praise his name. If we look back in the Old Testament, we see many, many chapters about sacrifices and in great details. But the first name, of course, Psalm and King David comes into our mind when we think about singing. And if you look back earlier, before his time, the other occasion comes into my mind. The first one is when the Israelites passed the Red Sea, and it's called the Moses' song, when the Israelites were singing praises their deliverance. And then I recall Deborah in the Judges. We can read that when God freed the Israelites from their enemies, from the Canaanites, and they sang songs of victory in Judges chapter 5. And Moses' song we can read in Exodus chapter 15. But even before that, we don't read about Noah's song or the patriarchs singing, but we read much more about how they did sacrifices, how they offered sacrifices. If we look in New Testaments, there are some references that when the apostles went around and we hear that, oh, they sang some songs or hymns, we don't see that Jesus would be teaching them to sing. So I was trying to research it, and I found a sermon about singing. So I listened. It was a 50-minute sermon, and 40 minutes of that, it was about the glory of God and who God is. And that really brings a point, and I'm not able to even come close to bring a message that would describe the glory of God and His greatness, even come close to what we read in Psalm 147. But I do want to point out that especially when we look at ourselves in comparison to God, how great He is. He created the heavens and the earth, and we are nothing compared to Him. In Isaiah 40, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 17, 18, all nations before Him as nothing, and they are counted Him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto Him? Even the galaxies compared to God, they are nothing. And God works completely independent. Even there was no galaxy, God would be. God does not rely on the earth or people or on galaxy, or does not need to rely. But what Isaiah concludes few chapters later, he says, "Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof." So those who realize how great God is, and still His mercy endureth forever, that causes us to stand in awe and sing praises to them, to Him. So when we look at the psalmist, King David, he recognized it too. He had a personal relationship with God. And we know at that time, God usually spoke through prophets, and it did happen with David as well. But accounts we can read when it just plainly said, God said this, or David asked God. And it made him to worship His name and to write all these psalms. We also read just one of them. However, we don't see accounts, or I couldn't find accounts, that even though we know that David is the one who originated, so to speak, congregational singing, and brought singing into the palace, singing that praises God, we don't see directly how he did, he ordained, or we see more that others are referring either in his time or later following in his footsteps. So there are a few examples I would like to point out. This is in David's time. There was a name, and there was a person's name, Barzillai, and he helped David when he was He was escaping from Saul. He was giving food to him. So when he was an old man, David wanted to not pay him back, but just do kind to him. So he invited him into the palace. And the answer of Barzillai was that I'm an 80-year-old man. And he excused himself that he was even too old to listen to the singing man and singing woman. So we know that David had a choir, so to speak. But also the descendants of David, they were talking about him, referring to him. And also as they were time to time reestablishing the temple and the praises in the temple, how David ordained it. We can read in 2 Chronicles 23 about Jehoiada, and who was a priest, and it was a troublesome time, and he was the one to make Joash king over Judah. And he also reestablished the worship in the temple. And we can see in verse 18 that he appointed offices of the house of the Lord by the hand of the priests and Levites, whom David has distributed in the house of the Lord. And he refers that, again, to appoint to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses. So burnt offering according to the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing, as it was ordained by David. So we know that David added to the burnt offerings the singing and praise. Then we can read from Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 29, also referring to David's order. In verse 30, we can read that Hezekiah the king and the priest commanded the Levites to sing praises unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshiped. So we could see in multiple accounts that not just sing, but singing, they noted singing with gladness, bringing praise to God. Later on, when the Israelites came back from the exile in Nehemiah, we read about how they built the wall. And interestingly, once the wall was ready, the next thing they did, we can read in Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 1. Now it came to pass, when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors, so the wall is built, the doors are built, and the porters, so people who are at the gates, and the singers and the Levites were appointed. So right after the next movement they did after the wall was built is to appoint singers. And later on in the chapter we can read that they even numbered all the people, and at the end they concluded that there were 245 singing men and singing women. Later Nehemiah again just refers that, for in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of singers. So that's how they remembered David after him. There is also, I found a very fascinating account in 2 Chronicles 20. This is about Jehoshaphat, and he was the king of Judah, and enemies were surrounding Judah. And the whole chapter explained how Jehoshaphat, he saw no hope other than going to the Lord, and he pleaded with God that we have, as he said, we have no chance to go against these multiple enemies. And God answered him and said that this battle is mine. And see, what's the response of Jehoshaphat? So I would recommend to read the whole chapter, 2 Chronicles 20, to see how Jehoshaphat acted front of the people and how he arranged them. But at verse 21 we can read, "And when he consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten." It's amazing account to know the battle belongs to the Lord. When we are facing giants, when we facing trials, go to the Lord and ask for deliverance. And then what should we do? Just as Jehoshaphat, go and praise the Lord. They went, just imagine how they lined up front of their enemies. And we could just imagine, yes, was there singing in any other battles? For sure, it's more about give the people would sing about praises of themselves to give confidence to go forward. And here we can see that to sing to the Lord about the beauty of holiness and praise the Lord for his mercies. It's amazing when we talk about the Spirit. We don't know where the Spirit come from or where does it go. That's how we could see where is the singing coming from. And we should learn from it that we can win battles with singing. When we look at the psalm we just read, David lists many reasons that it's that God is worth of our praise. And we could see for his healing, for his righteous judgment, making Israel to prosper, to provide for all nature and humans. As we could see, it talks about the vegetation around the people, talks about giving the finest of the wheat to the people, but also God's power over the elements, over the seasons. It's a complete picture where we live, that anywhere we touch, the glory of the Lord manifests. And still, he has thoughts about us. At the end of the chapter, it concludes that he showed his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgment. So he still cares not just about the earth and to manifest his glory, but a personal relationship with us. But we can also see that this concludes with earthly blessing. This concludes with anything that pertains to this life on this earth. But when we flip the Bible and we read in Revelation, they sang a new song in heaven. So Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, and they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. As we just heard, Sunday morning, Revelation chapter 19, the hallelujahs to the victorious, who win over Satan's chain, who broke Satan's chain and brought redemption for us. How much more reason we have to sing? How much more reason when even when we see Psalm 147, there should be almost no more reason needed to praise God, and we could see that God elevated us to a whole new level, that it's not just earthly blessing, not about anything that pertains to this life, but also the life to come, that we have the hope to be with him in heaven after the earthly life. I believe singing is very special because it originates from heaven. We know that In many accounts, we see where there is praise and worship in heaven. The heavenly beings are constantly worshiping and praising God. And it is a taste of heaven. I remember I had my uncle, who passed away now, but maybe around 15 plus years ago. And he was a Christian who struggled and got very discouraged and almost got to, a rebellious stage. And he suffered a major heart attack. He managed to drive himself to the hospital, and he got out of the car, collapsed on the parking lot, and they picked him up as a dead man. And they revived him, as they thought. But once he woke up to himself, he told us that he saw a vision. He said he was standing at the gates of heaven, and he said it was a beautiful, great wall, but what was very special, that he heard the singing from inside, a beautiful singing. And then a voice told him that he's not ready to enter yet. And then he woke up. And it's just always a special memory for me, just the taste of heaven that we hear, not just from Bible, but through people's vision. So why is that that sometimes we choke during singing, that we're just tearing up as we sing? I think it since it originates from heaven, it is so special. God's glory manifests through praises. Maybe a month ago, after a sermon, we were singing, "My Jesus, I love thee, and I know thou art mine." And when we got to the second verse, that thou hast first loved me, I was just choking on the words, and I just couldn't stop crying. And it just feels so special what we have, what relationship we have with Jesus, and to be able to sing these songs. And I was thinking afterwards, would I have cried if I just had to read the verse? And I don't think so. I think it's God is blessing us, even though he's not requesting us to praise his name with songs. He didn't command us, but he gave us this gift that we can praise his name, that in turn we receive immediate blessings. Our as we talked even at the earlier, that it lifts up our burdens. So I encourage everyone to take part in singing wherever you can, driving by yourself in the car, but especially in our congregational singing, and to make it a point that we would be able to lift up the burdens of those who enter through these doors of our church. And just a personal tip that I'm using, as not being a strong singer, but I found if I sit at the front benches, front of the good singers, it feels like my voice is much better, and I can sing much more confidently, but also I can focus, and the singing goes way better, at least to my ears.